Folks, my next guest has seen a whole lot over her 90 years of life. She, of course, is one of the most noted speakers in this country. She makes it plain when it comes to racism, bigotry, discrimination, sexism. I don't think she's ever been called introverted. She, of course, will speak her mind regardless of the audience. Love it. She and I got together at the University of Michigan a few years ago. We had a fantastic panel. I don't even know why the moderator was there. She just let me and Jane just handle ourselves. And also, there's a new book out, y'all. The author interviewed me about this book. It's called Shades of Brown, the official biography of Jane Elliott and the Blue Eyes, Brown Eyes Exercise by author Todd M. Mealy. This is the book right here. And when I was introduced to her, Jane held up. She's got my book, White Fear, there as well. So there you go. So, Jay, let's just jump right in. You saw what happened on Tuesday. Break it down. What do you think?
What happened on Tuesday is the citizens of the United States of America decided to listen to a racist, sexist, crafty crook who has no business being in the presidency of the United States of America. We know that, but you see, right now we're in a situation where people who are pale, stale, and male are scared to death. And it's been, you know, I read the book White Fear a long time ago when it first came out. And I've watched this thing happen over the last 30 years, particularly the last 20 years. I've watched white males become increasingly frightened of the fact that they are going to lose their numerical majority in the United States of America. And the damn fools don't even realize that they have always been in the numerical minority worldwide. Only 15 to 18% of the human population of the earth is classified as white. And let's make no mistake about this. White is a misnomer. There are no white people. I am not the color of this collar on my shirt. And you are not the color of the OTE on your shirt. We aren't white and we aren't black. We are all shades of brown. And it's time for us to realize that. And it's time for us to enjoy that fact. And it's time for us to stop talking about race. There's only one race of people on the face of the earth, and that's the human race. And oh my God, how long is it going to take us to have social studies teachers tell our students at the junior high and high school level that the word race, meaning a specific group of people, came out of France in 1580. How long is it going to take us to realize that the idea of whiteness and blackness, yeah, quit laughing, this ain't funny, don't do something else.
So Jane, Jane, you made that point there, and they've talked about how these young white men have been, quote, radicalized. You now have these podcasts and others, and they're talking about toxic masculinity, and you've got people like Senator Josh Hawley and Tucker Carlson, you know, and even Congressman Byron Donalds. We've got the return to masculine men. We have feminized men. And so, and Trump plays into that. He's strong and tough. And so, when you see these demos, when you see 1834 and these young men saying, yeah, Trump is our guy, what you're laying out is right. They're scared to death. It's like, well, you know, where's the place for men in our society? Your ass has been running every damn thing for the longest.
But what the problem is, these aren't men. These are boys. And they are absolutely encouraged to remain boys instead of to grow into men. Becoming a man takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of time, and it takes a lot of effort, and it takes some study, and it takes some education. Any damn fool can be a boy. We've got a lot of them running around. And right now, the ones who voted for Donald Trump this last week was a whole bunch of boys, grown tall, who don't know what's good for them and certainly don't know what's good for the world. We're going to have to depend on women because men don't want to stop being boys. Women have no choice. There's comes a time in every person, woman's, female's life when she has to grow up and be a woman. Men don't have to do that. They can be boys for as long as they live. And if you don't believe that, look at Donosaurus T. Rump. He will be a boy for as long as he draws breath, because he is encouraged to not to think, but just to react, and not to respond intelligently, but to respond with anger and petulance. And we don't need an angry, petulant boy in the White House ever again. But that's what we have, and we're going to have that for the next 4 years.
What do you make of white women? There was a belief that because of the Dobbs decision, that white women were finally going to stop rewarding Donald Trump. They voted for him in 2016. They voted for him in 2020. According to the polls, Vice President Kamala Harris was doing way better with white voters. She was, according to the polls, she was getting a higher share of white voters than even Joe Biden did. And then come Tuesday, nope, none of that happened.
White women are just as ignorant about race and sex as white men are. And we'll stay that way as long as we have an education system that describes all the important things that have ever been done in this world as having been done by white males and a few white females. As long as we don't tell the truth in history, as long as we don't tell the truth in social studies, as long as we teach the lie, as long as we refuse to deal with the truth, that's how long we'll have this problem. And white women don't seem to realize that Donald Trump is going to use them. They need to realize that when he said, we've got to put a border, we've got to put a wall on the southern border of the United States because we've got to keep those brown-skinned people out because brown-skinned people reproduce too rapidly, he was absolutely serious. This man is a blatant racist, and he has prepared. The reason he closed Planned Parenthood clinics for a while, and now they're trying to get them open, is because he was quite certain that Planned Parenthood clinics, the main thing they did was offer abortions to white women. That's not what Planned Parenthood clinics are about. They're about a whole lot of things, providing a whole lot of services for women who can't afford to go to the local doctor, but they can go to the Planned Parenthood clinic. He did a real ugly thing when he closed his clinics, and he closed them so that he could keep white women from getting abortions. I've got news for him. If a white woman wants an abortion, she's going to get an abortion. And there's no way he or anybody else on the face of the earth is going to be able to stop her if she can find somebody who's willing to help her do it. And I'm willing to help her do it. Until we make white males, males, period, males of all colors, and there's only two, and that's brown, only one in that shade of brown. But until we start making males as responsible for pregnancy as women are, that's how long we're going to have the problem of abortion. If we could just pass legislation that said that every man who contributed to an unwanted pregnancy would have to submit to involuntary vasectomy, I'll bet we can do away with abortion in a hurry, don't you think so?
Absolutely. Now, on that particular point there, when you talk about Trump and these Republicans, listen, Elon Musk, apartheid Elon Musk.
Wait, let me stop you there. We've got to stop calling the Republican Party the Republican Party. Donald Trump knocked the letter L out of the word Republican and turned it into Republican because of his obsession with the pubic area. It's time to call it what it is. And he also messed up the word, this United States Supreme Court. It is now the United States Sperm Court, because all he and his recent appointees to that court are interested in is sperm cells and what color children they will be produced by their use. It's time to change the language to fit the situation. These are Republicans, and it's a sperm court. Okay, what were you saying?
First of all, no, go to the shot of Greg. Henry Spitchin. Greg Carr was sitting there, and Naomi Carter was sitting there. Their mouth was wide open, cracking up when you said that. I'm going to go to them in a second. But here's the thing right there. You're talking about.
Are their ears open?
Oh, yeah.
We got to open our ears and then open our mouths to say something that makes sense. And Republican Party makes sense. Republican doesn't. Donald Trump isn't interested in the public arena. He is interested in the pubic area. Let's call it what it is.
You talked about, again, Trump and Planned Parenthood, and you got apartheid Elon Musk, and he is always tweeting. Okay. He's always tweeting about, the population drop, the lack of birthing babies. These folks, what they want is simple. They want white women to shut up, stop going to college, stop taking jobs, lay down, have babies, and just reproduce. Because this is all about fear of losing the white majority.
They're going to lose. They might as well give it up because they're going to lose. Number one, let's stop calling Elon Musk Elon Musk. I taught dyslexic students for years, male dyslexic students. If you move the letters in his name around, you come up with lone scum. And that's what he is. He's lone scum. He is scum. We need to realize that, and we need to stop admiring him because he is able to make so much money off the efforts of other human beings. It's time to give that up. You also need to know that women have the right to decide what to do with their bodies. No man had better tell me or any other intelligent woman what to do with their body until you can produce a child by birth as I can. Don't tell me what to do with my body. But women have the right to say, no, absolutely not. This will not happen.
Let's talk about Latinos, Latino men as well. I just had a segment with a reporter earlier who said point blank, you've got Latinos in this country. They see themselves as white adjacent. They will vote accordingly. They don't see themselves as brown. They will support somebody who wants to deport literally their family members.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Because they have been brainwashed to the idea of the rightness of whiteness. There are no white people. We are all shades of brown. We have to realize that those Latinos are just as brown as all the rest of us, and they came from the same place that you and I did. We all came from a country on the continent of Africa. We all started out brown, and it's time for us to realize that all human beings are shades of brown. And I cannot understand why, I do too, I understand why Latinos are considered calling themselves white, because that's a way to get over in this country. If you can prove that you have white ancestry, you're going to be all right. But what they don't realize is, in the very, very near future, being able to prove that you have African ancestry is going to make you all right, because we are all originally from a country on the continent of Africa. We've got to get over the idea of the rightness of whiteness. It came up during the Spanish Inquisition and should have been destroyed immediately. We've only had to deal with this for less than 500 years. It's time to give it up.
We're going to take a quick break and come back. You know what? I'm not going to go to a break. Let me just go ahead right now. Forget the break. I'm going to go right to questions. Let me first start with Greg. I'm going to start with you because the look on your face when Jane said Republicans was too hilarious. So I'm going to start with you. Go right ahead.
Yeah, I'd love to Sister Elliott, I'd love to ask you about Francis Cress Welsing, but I think I'll hold off on that. I want to follow up with how you your most recent comment there, when you talked about at some point having African ancestry will be a benefit. We certainly did see that in Moorish Spain, as you say. You see, a touch of the Moor did distinguish you. How would that reversal happen in the racial binary that we have today, particularly since whiteness is a global phenomenon? And in places like, Southern Europe and other places where it's clearly mixing that is going on there for 1,000 years, it hasn't translated into any benefit for Black people. How do you see that reversal happening?
Because we have been brainwashed by our education system to the idea of the rightness of whiteness. There are no white people. We've got to get over the idea that people came from, and just this week I got a letter from somebody who said, after all, white people were here first. They came from Europe and they were here first. And I thought, oh my God, what are we going to do about this? People, all you have to do is trace your ancestry back as far as you can, and you'll find that every one of you have ancestors who came from a country on the continent of Africa. If they didn't, they came from another planet. Every human being on the face of the earth came from a country in Africa originally. You go to church on Sunday, or you go to whatever you worship on Sunday, if you're a Christian, you go and you look at a picture up behind the minister, or whatever it is you're calling your religious leader, and you'll see a man who looked nothing like what Jesus Christ looked like. According to the Bible, he had kinky, woolly hair and feet of bronze. If it was good enough for Jesus, I would think it would be good enough for me and good enough for people like me. It's time for us to admit that our heritage over thousands of years is brown. It's not black, it's brown. We are all shades of brown, and it's time to get used to that and to enjoy it. And make no mistake about this. The number of white babies that are being born is getting less and less because white women are tired of being used. White women are tired of being treated like second-class citizens because they can be used by somebody like Dinosaurus T. Rump. It's time to get over the idea that only women are responsible for pregnancy. It takes two people to make a pregnancy. Now, eventually, I think at the beginning it didn't. I think at the beginning you had two women, you could put two female egg cells together in a petri dish, mammal cells, break down the cell wall and combine those cells and come up with another female mammal. That's probably the way human beings began. But we, all our history and all our, and the Bible, except for one book, is written by males. So history says males did all the important things that were done, fought all the important thoughts and fought all the important fights. It's not true. It couldn't have happened if it hadn't been for the women who were there to make more peoples. It's time to get over this idea. What we're doing is blatantly sexist, blatantly racist, and blatantly ignorant. We are living in an ignorant society, and it's going to get more so because of banning books and banning speakers and banning ideas. And right now we're in a situation where people are banning any idea that would even question the superiority of whiteness.
Jane, you told me this book about you from Todd Mealy is on ban list.
I'm on ban list, and I think that is. I'm not sure that is. I know I am. I am banned on all college and university campuses.
Wow.
Have been for over. Oh, yeah, I am a dangerous person, and I realize that. And I am absolutely delighted to be called somebody who is dangerous for college students to listen to. I'm tickled to death. Because that means that what I have to say is threatening to people who voted for Dinosaurus T. Rump.
Well, that's also why I love having my own platform, because they can keep you off college campuses, but they can't keep you off this show because I own it. And that's why we got to have unfiltered programming for folks like you. Niambi. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you so much for being with us. I want to go back to something you mentioned a moment ago about white birth rates dropping. I know that has been a fixation on the right wing, yet we still see white women voting for white supremacy. So what do you think is happening there?
It isn't just women of color who are stupid. White women get reinforced for being stupid. And we've been doing that for a good many years. We do that one by calling the Virgin Mary blonde-haired, blue-eyed, fair-skinned. We set ourselves up to fail, and then when we fail, we blame it on somebody else. It's time for us to realize that there is no such thing as a white woman. There is no such thing as a black woman. But we use those words because, for white women use it because, according to the person who started this whole thing of race, Torquemada, during the Spanish Inquisition, he was going to kill everybody who wasn't Christian, and he was going to turn all the Christians into Catholics. He had killed 2,000 people before somebody made him aware of the fact that many of the people he had killed were Christians. At that time, he realized that you couldn't tell what a person's religion was by looking at them, so he decided he'd have to come up with a way to make that determination. So he called the lighter, and all people were shades of brown at that time, and they are now. He called the lighter brown-skinned people white because white is the color of purity and goodness. He called the darker-skinned people black because black is the color of savagery and evil. And we have been living with that nonsense for less than 500 years. It's time to give it up. There are no white women, and there are no black women. We are all shades of brown. And you and I, whether you want to know it or whether you want to admit it or not, are 30th to 50th cousins because our ancestors came from the same place. And came from the same race. There's only one race on the face of the earth. It's the human race, and we're all members of it. It's time to get over the idea of the Rainbow Coalition and the idea of blackness and whiteness. They have never existed, but we have been using it to keep people in their place for about 500 years. It's time to stop it.
Lauren.
Do I make sense to you?
Oh yeah. Oh absolutely. Absolutely.
Jane, Jane.
Go ahead.
Jane, great talking to you. What do you think of the idea? I mean, African Americans, we spend a lot of time pushing back, arguing with other people, arguing with the majority, arguing that our history is important. Your book is banned on college campuses, which is ridiculous. What do you think of the idea of effectively separatism, of doing your own thing? Because wasting so much time in life arguing with people that have never respected you for 400 years, it gets a little draining. What do you think of just the idea of people building their own, you know, their own centers of learning, et cetera, and just doing that and focusing on that?
Hey, white people have been doing that for years. Do not copy the behavior of white people. Do not move back away from society in order to not have to be around this nonsense. Get out there and educate these schools so that their children are smarter than their parents. We cannot just say these people don't know any better. We'll just stay away from them, because within 25 years, and it's going to be less than 25 years, white people will become a numerical minority in the United States of America. You're going to have to deal with them in a totally different way. And we are going to have to deal, I say we because I'm considered white. We white folks are going to have to deal with other people in a totally different way. We're going to have to start realizing that the boy grown tall, who is now going to be president of the United States in a couple of months, doesn't even know what it says in the preamble to the Constitution of the United States of America. Think about that. Remember when you learned the preamble to the Constitution, we the citizens of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union. Do you think Donald Trump wants to form a more perfect union, or does he want a disunion? I just think it's an absolutely wonderful thing that we should have learned, and we should have listened while he was talking. We aren't doing it. We haven't listened, and I think most of us don't remember it. You remember that form a more perfect union, establish justice. Do you really think that Donald Trump believes in establishing justice? He ran for the presidency deliberately and with determination so that he wouldn't have to go to jail as a result of all the ugly things that he has been doing over the last few years. He doesn't believe in establishing justice, not for himself and not for anyone else. It says we're going to secure domestic tranquility. Oh, yeah, right. Provide domestic tranquility by inciting a riot. An absolutely ridiculous mess in January. Remember that mess? That's domestic tranquility as far as Donald Trump is concerned. We're going to promote the general welfare by doing away with Social Security and welfare for children whose parents can't make enough money for them to live on. We're going to do all the things that are in the preamble of the Constitution? I don't think so. We're going to ensure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity? No, we aren't. We're going to ensure the blessings of liberty to white males. And the rest of us are going to have to pretend that we like what's happening. Finally, a whole lot, but not enough, white women have decided we are not going to do this anymore. We aren't going to play this game anymore. This game has been killing women for long enough. It's time for us to refuse to put up with it anymore. And it's doubly time for women who consider themselves black but are brown. They're browner than I am, and I'll never be as brown as you are, but I have the right to see you as brown and to see me as brown and to see all of us as having come from the same continent, a country on the same continent, and be blessed to have cousins that look like you and that look like this gentleman who's sitting here.
This has been him coming back. Republicans taking control of the Senate. They're leading in a number of House races. They'll be in control of picking federal judges. Those are lifetime appointments. You've got the pot right now at 6-3 on the Supreme Court. 6-3 majority on the Supreme Court. You've got talking about potentially Alito Thomas retiring. What do you say to people who are despondent, who say, my God, they're going to be running everything? What do you say to those folks?
They're,
who are thinking about just giving up?
Look, I remember when Donald Trump gave his inauguration address 8 years ago, and I thought at the time, my God, this is Hitlerian. And I thought, Jane, you're exaggerating. This isn't Hitlerian. And then I got the book, When at Times the Mob is Swayed. And you need to hear just this paragraph. It says, we know from Ivana Trump's now sealed testimony at Trump's divorce trial, first divorce trial, backed up by her lawyer, Michael Kennedy, and from the president himself, that for years, a younger Donald Trump slept with a book of Adolf Hitler's collected political speeches published in 1941 as My New Order in a locked cabinet at his bedside table. Ugly and appalling as they are, those speeches are masterpieces of demagogic manipulation. People, what we're dealing with is what I remember from the time I was born. I was born in 1933. And from 1933 until 1945, I listened to my father ranting about what Adolf Hitler was doing in Europe and in Germany, and is going had planned to do with the United States. And here I am, at the age of 90, listening to this same demagogic bullshit out of the man who is going to be president of the United States in a couple of months. We have to realize that we defeated Hitler, and we will defeat this man. It won't take 4 years. He'll be in office for 4 years. But look, think of it this way. He's an old person. I'm older than he is. But he's an old man. And he's not going to live a whole lot longer. We're going to have to outlive him. And we're going to have to refuse to go along to get along while he is the president. There are enough women of color, brown women, very dark women, very brown women, saved this country 8 years ago. 4 years ago, I'm sorry, 4 years ago, they went out in massive numbers and saved this country. They will do it again. And we have to make sure that they know they have that possibility. They've done it before, and they'll do it again. We've got to stop realizing how brilliant these women are. And if you think they aren't, you have to remember that 300,000 years ago, people who look like you left the continent of Africa and without any modern technology managed to populate every landmass on the face of the earth. Every landmass on the face of the earth was populated by people who we call black. And they weren't black, they were brown people whose skin was brown because of it. They were exposed to a lot of sunlight. As they moved farther and farther from the equator, their skin, their hair, and their eyes got lighter. Their brains didn't get smaller, but their features got lighter. And as a result of the response to the natural environment, that's what color is all about. But we have decided that God must have looked like Donald Trump. Think of that. If that doesn't frighten you, I don't know what will. It's time for us to get into a state of realizing what reality is. And the reality is that if you get to your thesaurus and look up white, look up black, and look up brown, you'll find about 25 synonyms for white in your thesaurus, and about 25 or 30 synonyms for black. You'll find 180 synonyms for brown in the thesaurus. That means that there are that many shades of brown that you can apply to skin color on people all over the face of the earth. We are all members of the same race. We're all members of the same color group. It's time to appreciate that. It's time to recognize that. And it's time to educate people to that fact.
But Jane, you have people who don't believe that. You have people who believe
that. I don't care. Of course, we have lots of people who don't believe that, but they're going to have to. They have no choice. They can think it's not true until hell freezes over, but that won't make it a lie. That's the truth. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set ye free. It's time for us to stop believing in different color groups and different races and realize it's only one race and there's only one color group, and it's shades of brown.
When we start looking at policy, beyond deportation, beyond, matter of fact, before I do that, I just saw, Susie Wiles, who was Trump's campaign manager, he's going to name her chief of staff. And you got folks like Will Kane on Fox News. Let me find this here. He just tweeted, if y'all go to my iPad, worst misogynist just named the first woman chief of staff in U.S. history, CC Mark Cuban. Folks, Will Kane, listen, I debated Will a lot. I mean, he ain't the bright on CNN. He ain't the brightest bulb in a dark room. The best thing he's got going for him is a great head of hair. And so, I mean, I used to just destroy him constantly in debates. But, you know, why guys like him actually believe by Trump picking a woman as chief of staff means he's not a misogynist?
Well, it means he not only is, he's not only still a misogynist, he's a stupid one. Because Donald Trump doesn't think right, and he doesn't read right, and he doesn't know what he's talking about, but I think he thinks that's chief of stuff. She can handle stuff, but she isn't capable to handle that staff. She wants the chief of stuff, and that's what he's got. This man is a real, he's a joke, and we have taken him seriously.
Do you also think
spot where he belongs?
You also think, and here's the issue that I have, Jane, that mainstream, and I'm going to call it mainstream white media, they toyed with this. They thought he was amusing. He would say things. Oh, that's just Donald being Donald. When I watched this year, how Joe Scarborough and Mika were all highly critical of Trump railing every day. I remember 2015, New York Times did a story about Trump and his treatment of women, and Scarborough and Mark Halperin, they were there on the air. Oh, that's the best they got. I mean, people out there just gonna say, oh, that's just Trump being Trump. And that's what they did. Everything that happened, oh, that's just Trump being Trump. They normalized his antics and his behavior. And it desensitized people. And it literally got to the point that every time he said something, oh, that's just Trump being Trump. We could just move on.
Do you really think that they aren't in any way bothered by the fact that he could buy and sell them tomorrow? Do you really think that they don't realize that he is saying to himself at every opportunity, I could, as my uncle said to my father many years ago, I could buy you and stick you in my vest pocket. Those people know what they have to do in order to stay employed, and they know what they have to do if they want to keep that job and keep their, whatever you want to call what they have. They're afraid to tell the truth. Their sponsors won't let them tell the truth. You know that, and I know that. And that's the reason I get lots and lots of death threats, because telling the truth is not a good idea in this environment.
Second round of questions. Greg, this time I'll start with Niambi.
Mm-hmm. So I think you said a lot here, and one of the things you talked about was how a lie is a lie, whether we admit it or not. So how do we get back to a place where talking about the truth in very clear terms becomes a norm again? I mean, if it ever was, right? But how do we get back to the place calling things disinformation and other kinds of euphemisms, alternative facts, has been around for quite some time. But how do we get back to a place of just being honest and saying what in the world is going on and not having to do this both sidesism and all the other things?
You reject the language of ignorance. I'm an educator. That word comes from the root duck deuce, which means lead, the prefix e, which means out, the suffix ate, which means the act of, and the suffix or, which means one who does. An educator is one who leads people out of ignorance. It is not someone who stands there and lets people run their mouths in ways that are absolutely untrue and try to find an excuse for their behavior. You do what my dad said, don't lie. If you're gonna lie, don't lie to me. And he also said, you know the difference between right and wrong. Now do the right thing, goddammit. And that's what we were expected to do. And that's what we did. When someone starts to rot, to roll out some of that nonsense that you know is nonsense, you not only have the right, you have the responsibility to say, wait a minute, stop right there. I have here a book that says that just what you just said was a total lie. Do not tell that in my presence. Now, you lose a lot of friends that way, and if you're somebody like me, you lose a lot of family members. But at least you know the truth and you aren't afraid to tell it. My father said, tell the truth, by God. Sometime it'll hurt you, but you better tell the truth. I believe in telling the truth. It isn't pretty, but we better stick to the truth instead of believing. We'll just shade it a little bit today, and tomorrow we'll say, well, we didn't really mean it. Donald Trump means it. People said, well, he's just saying those things. He meant every word of it. And he's going to live with what he planned to do. Even when he said, I have concepts, he didn't mean he had concepts. He said, I have plans as to what I'm going to do with this country when I get back in the presidency. However, he forgot that after 4 years, he won't be able to run again. So he's going to fix it so he doesn't have to run again. And he has said that. He has said openly, you'll never have to worry about voting again if I'm the president. People take him at his word. That's exactly what he means. Fix it so that he doesn't ruin this country totally with his behaviors in the next 4 years.
Lauren.
Did I answer your question?
Yes.
Jane, I really don't have a question. You filled in all the blanks for me, so I really don't have a question. But thanks.
Greg?
Thank you, Roland.
Okay.
Sister Elliot, we know that white and black are not real in biology, and we also know that, of course, they exist as social forces and as a kind of racial contract. I wonder if you have any thoughts about reparations in this sense. We know in California, some of the folks who are saying, of course, the Supreme Court would not recognize race as a protected class that would allow people to get reparations based on their racial identity. That's their colorblind constitutionalism. We know that. But we also, so if lineage, if tracing back to enslavement would qualify people who were descended from people who were enslaved in the United States, if that were able to survive legal challenge, and I don't think it will because they'll use it as a proxy for race, but let's say it did, should white people proving black ancestry, which is a form, I guess, of embracing their black identity, right? Should white people proving black ancestry be eligible for reparations?
If they're promised reparation, they'll go back and they'll choose that black ancestry immediately. That's all you have to do to mess the whole situation up is tell white people that they have black ancestry and they are entitled to reparations. If you're gonna really mess yourself up if you do that. Think about that for a very long time before you do it. However, if you're going to give reparations to people who really deserve it, let's give it to the people who had this land before white folks came and stole it from them. Let's give reparations to the First Nations people who also came from Africa and were here long before slavery started coming from Africa as being brought here by white people who didn't want to work but brought people here to work and so they wouldn't have to. Let's talk about reparations to the First Nations people, shall we?
I agree. But I mean, so then, okay. That's interesting. Because I do think that...
Let's give the land back to the people who were here first. And they came from Africa. But we called them red men. We called them red people because we didn't know any better. And we didn't want to admit that they were here long before any people from Europe got here. We think that Columbus discovered America. Thor Heyerdahl said you can't discover a place where people are already living. They discovered it before you got there. This land was discovered long, long before Columbus was a gleam in his father's eye. But you see, we don't tell the truth in history. And we work really hard at deciding what is and is not true based on what white males say should be regarded as truth. That's scary to me, that we are still listening to white males tell us what is and what is not true.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I agree with you on reparations. People, the people who think that lineage won't be used as a proxy for race don't really understand how the American legal system works today. It will absolutely be used as a proxy for race. Which then leads me to maybe a final question. Everything we're talking about, of course, exists because of the nation state, because of constructs of belonging and not belonging. And when you talk about reparations for the indigenous people, which, of course, I agree with 100%, is it possible for us to get rid of race as long as we hold on to this concept of the nation state? In other words, the idea that some people... Okay, well, then tell us a little bit about that, particularly as it relates to citizenship. Who belongs, who doesn't belong?
Absolutely, it's going to be taken care of by nature. People who are called themselves white are going to become a smaller and smaller and smaller percentage of the population of the earth. It's down to 15 to 18% right now. And eventually, we will have educated people enough that they realize that there are no white people, so you can't base your importance or your status or your brilliance on something that doesn't exist, which is the whiteness of your skin. It's time, and we will eventually educate people to the reality. It's time for us to tell our children and our grandchildren and my great-grandchildren, of which I have five, the truth about the human race, that we're all members of the same one. And skin color is not an indicator of brilliance. If it were, when you go out on the beach next week and you see all those pale, stale females lying out there on the beach trying to get tan, then you'd have to say to yourself, uh-oh, in the summer, whites get dumber. If skin color is an indicator of intelligence, it is not, people. It is an indicator of what the human body has done in response to the natural environment over 300,000 years. Get used to it and realize that before you die, brown will be the color of everyone. We'll all have decided that we're all shades of brown, and we'll get over the idea of black and white and red and yellow. For the love of heaven, this has only been going on for 500 years. I think it's time to get over it. And if you don't get over it, if you insist on using the vernacular of the 1500s, 1400s, and 1500s, then you men must all come to work wearing knee breeches and pointy-toned shoes with little rosettes on the toes and powdered wigs. And you women will have to come to work, if you're allowed to come to work, which you won't be. When you leave the house, you're going to have to be wearing a corset that tightens your waist so that your waist is no more than 18 inches around. Now, if you want to talk the way they did in the 1400s and 1500s, dress and travel the way they did, walk to work, give up all forms of modern transportation, and descend back to the level of the people who believed in the lie of race in the 1400s and 1500s. It's ridiculous. It's time to give it up.
But can I ask one more question, Ron? Just very quick.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I agree with you 100%. How do we grapple with the fact and this is why I brought up the concept of the nation state and countries and borders and citizenship. How do we grapple with the fact that whiteness carries a privilege that isn't just about privilege, but about legal and enforceable rights that come along with membership in a society, so that therefore, and this is where Elon Musk comes in again, you know, this guy who was raised in apartheid South Africa, where white minority rule was set up, now in this society, just because the majority is non-white doesn't mean a system, a legal system with enforceable rights that will preserve minority rights won't just transfer those, or will continue to reinforce whiteness, even though it's a numerical minority. And of course, we know whiteness is also very flexible. So that where earlier we were talking about the Italians, the Irish, others who were brought into whiteness by defining themselves by not being black, we're seeing the same thing in the Spanish-speaking community and in something we really don't want to talk about, I don't think, the Arab community as well. The Palestinians are the orphans of the region, even as they're treated by the Saudis and others. In Dearborn, Michigan, the Arabs, who on the United States Census, Arab is classified in white, right? They are also invited into whiteness. How do we grapple with the fact that whiteness also carries some legally enforceable benefits?
First, you read the book, The Color of the Law. Have you read this book?
Yes.
If you haven't read the book, The Color, yeah, you have read it. There's a lot of good stuff in there that will answer your
question. Come on, Jane.
What we have to do is
Jane, you don't see all Jane, you don't see all them damn books behind Greg. Jane, if you name five books right now, I can guarantee you Greg gonna pull a copy from behind him.
He's selling the wolf ticket. Now, don't do that. I was going to get The Color of the Law, though. But anyway.
Attack from within. Attack from within. Attack from within. Have you read it?
Attack from within. That one I don't know. She got me wrong.
Uh-oh. She got you, Greg. Greg. She got you.
Oh, boy. Get the book, Attack from Within. And then you'll know where Donald Trump gave that business about it. Attack from within. He got it from this woman. Read this book if you haven't read it. Have you read it when at times the mob is swayed?
No, these are popular books, right? But yeah. Attack from Within looks like it came out this year.
What are you talking about? Well, listen, dude. No, this didn't come out this year. It came out several years ago. Hey, darling, you're playing catch-up ball when you're talking to me. I've been reading. I was reading books when you were 5 years old.
I'm sure you were. I'm sure you were, but I really would appreciate an answer to that question of citizenship and how whiteness and minority.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
They do.
All right. We do it. It happens because we allow it. As long as you allow it, that's how long it will continue. You're going to have to have the nerve and the guts and the determination to say, no, by God, there are no white people and there are no black people. Unless you have a severe problem, you are not white. We've got to get over the idea of whiteness. It is a lie that has been told for less than 500 years. We need to give it up. But as long as you go along to get along, that's how long it will remain strong.
Okay.
We are going to, the people in the United States of America within the next 25 years are going to have to realize that not only are they not white, but they are also no longer in the numerical majority in this country. And that is what has white males scared to death, because they're afraid that if they lose their power, they will be treated by other people the way we have treated those other people. That's what's going on. When I do the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise, and I know this sounds childish to you, but it's a good lesson. When I do the blue-eyed, brown-eyed exercise, I realize on the first day, brown-eyed people are on top, blue-eyed people are on the bottom. Second day, and the brown-eyed people are vicious to the blue-eyed kids. Second day, I dread to go back into the room and reverse that, because I know the blue-eyed people are going to get even. They say they are going to get even. I listen to the boys in the restroom say we're going to get even with those brownies when we're on top. Then they get on top. And every year, and I've done it for years, the blueies don't get even. And at the end of the program, on the next day, I say to them in the magic circle, you blue-eyed kids said you were going to get even with the brownies. Why didn't you get even? And almost in a chorus, every year they say the same thing. Because we found out how it feels to be on the bottom, and we didn't want to make anybody feel as bad as we did when we were on the bottom. That, I think, is the hope of humankind. Mm-hmm. I know that people of color do not want to treat what we call white people the way white people have treated them, because they know what will result because of that behavior. We will separate ourselves and divide ourselves and stay that way forever until white people realize that they don't have to fear people of other color groups, other darker brown groups. All they have to do is realize that we are all the same humans under the skin, and the color of our skin is just the result of our body's response to the natural environment. It has nothing to do with being God's chosen children.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we have to educate the hell. We have to educate the hell out of this situation, because what we're in is hell. Make no mistake about this.
Yes.
All right, then. Jane Elliott, it is always a pleasure to chat with you, to hear from you. I want to encourage everybody who's watching this, everybody, to get Todd Mealy's book, not only because it's the biography of Jane, and not only because he interviewed me for it, but really, it is a great story of a woman who, the day after Dr. King was assassinated, committed her life to this work, and she's been pissing people off ever since. It doesn't matter. And I keep saying we need a whole lot more Jane Elliotts and a whole lot more Tim Wises in this world, because we've got to chat. And the reason I say that, because we got to have folk who are willing to challenge white folks. It's always, interesting, Jane, where they want to bring a black speaker in to talk about diversity or to talk about this stuff. And I always say, no. You need white people who talk to white people to have some honest conversations.
But you got to find white people who know the truth.
And there you go.
And refuse to call themselves white. You've got to have white people who are brown, who came from the same place that you did originally. And we've got to realize that. We've got to get it into the heads of our kindergartners. And then from kindergarten to senior high, we've got to convince children that we are not different shades of white, black, and brown, and red, and yellow. We are different shades of brown. And we are all 30th to 50th cousins, because we all came from the same place. Until we get that into our children, we'll never get it into our adults.
All right, then. Jane Elliott, thank you so very much.
We talk about blackness and what happens in black culture, covering these things that matter to us, speaking to our issues and concerns.
This is a genuine people-powered movement.
There's a lot of stuff that we're not getting. You get it, and you spread the word.
We wish to plead our own cause. Too long have others spoken for us.
We cannot tell our own story if we can't pay for it.
This is about covering us.
Invest in Black-owned media.
Your dollars matter.
We don't have to keep asking them to cover our stuff.
So please support us in what we do, folks.
We want to hit 2,000 people, $50 this month, raise $100,000. We're behind $100,000, so we want to hit that. Y'all money makes this possible.
Checks and money orders go to P.O. Box 57196, Washington, D.C., 20037-0196. PayPal is R. Martin Unfiltered. Venmo is R.M. Unfiltered. Zelle is Roland at RolandSMartin.com.
Talk about blackness and what happens in black culture. Covering these things that matter to us, speaking to our issues.
We lead our own cause. Too long have others spoken for us.
We cannot tell our own story if we can't pay for it.
This is about covering us.
Invest in Black-owned media.
Your dollars matter.
We don't have to keep asking them to cover our stuff.
So please support us in what we do, folks.
We want to hit 2,000 people, $50 this month, raise $100,000.
We're behind $100,000, so we want to hit that.
Y'all money makes this possible.
Checks and money orders go to P.O. Box 57196, Washington, D.C., 20037-0196. PayPal is R. Martin Unfiltered.
Venmo is R.M. Unfiltered.
Zelle is Roland at RolandSMartin.com.